Hello.
Hey, guys. It's Rob. I'm very sorry. It wasn't on my calendar for some reason.
Okay. That's okay.
How you doing?
Good, good. I got back. I got back from visiting the Cape, Cape Cod in New Hampshire, and I looked on my calendar, and guess what? There's nobody on there. So
okay.
I scheduled another call for 2 o'clock, so I'm going to have to, unfortunately, not talk to them.
Okay. We came first. Great. Thank you. Good. Well, we don't have a full room today. The latest that you probably don't know is Pop had a stroke on the 4th of July. So he's been Yeah. And so my sister and my wife and I for a while were kind of, you know, taking care of my mother while he was in the hospital. Because he was her primary caretaker. So we've been dealing with that, you know, in the interim. Yeah.
Wow.
But on another note, we have been making progress on the supernova process. And, you know, we took your advice and dumped the client. I don't know if you're... Well, we gave him the option of leaving.
Yeah.
And so he took the option and he left the guy that had all the money. So he left the firm. I mean, left us, and which we're fine with. We're okay with that. He sent a letter in and thanking us, but then we found out that the letter that he sent was just not true. It was a lie. You know, what he accused us of. So it was, it confirmed the fact that he didn't need to be with us.
Wow.
Yeah.
He sounds a little unstable.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely that. So, and we're fine with, you know, we're absolutely fine with him not being with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we are still scaling our book down, still doing it in a methodical way, and I think we're making very, very good progress. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Chantel talk because Chantel got the
note. We met with some advisors that we wanted to reassign our clients to. So we started that process already. The next steps are just basically putting their, you know, actually having those FAs speak to the clients with us on the phone or in person so we can make an introduction. We've done it for one, or we're about to do it for one, as one client. There's some people who are on our list and they've decided to leave on their own or through different us calling them, they've decided to take their money and transfer it out. There's also some people we were able to reassign to our call center, so we've done some cleanup there. And we have done a really good job because as far as new people, prospects who were either referred to us or know Gerald from other outside of Morgan Stanley, and maybe those people who didn't meet that criteria as far as assets and other things, we've done a pretty good job kind of explaining our process and that we may not be a good fit for them. So we're still kind of working those kinks out with just how to talk to people and tell them that, you know, in so many words, we're not a good fit for them. But we have been working on that script, if you will. So,
mm-hmm.
But we've definitely made some pretty good progress. And I think we're also getting to a point where, I mean, just – like Gerald said, the client that took that money because of his being a little lost and all over the place and mm-hmm. other things. We're getting to a point with a lot of clients who don't really use us for what we can offer them and they don't want to listen to us. It's just time for them to move or leave. So we're really becoming more, straight about what they need to be doing.
The other thing we're finding, as you are, you probably already know, is that we are spending time with clients and having some real productive meetings. And we're even finding out things about our own firm that we didn't realize that we had access to in dealing with some of the issues that they have. So, write this down to the John Baker. We probably need to get with an elder care attorney with at some point. But we're spending more time with the clients, and we're finding out a lot of the nuances that they have in their own in their lives that we can help them. You know, whether it's selling, you know, we've got a client that has a business that he didn't know what he wanted to do with it. He has a son that's in it, didn't feel he was mature. Another person in it felt that they would be good, but he's ready to kind of bow out. So. You know, he didn't know that we could initiate or had access to a company that would help him sell his business, even if it's to a family member. So all of that and assets that he has scattered, we're beginning to move them in. So it's just a matter of being able to spend more time with clients.
Yeah, and that's the key is to you know, God bless the fact that you have you got to do the intense phone calls to get why you're doing this.
Yeah.
And because otherwise it just seems crazy. All we're doing is giving away clients. So the two things you got to do is you got to dig deep with existing good clients and they're going to love it and you're going to find more assets and you're going to find opportunities. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to turn, you know, that freed up time to your networking. To your centers of influence and your mastermind groups,
right.
So that you see the benefit of that, which I think will be so exciting to you, and that's where the payoff is.
Well, you've been very helpful. The other thing that we did, I don't know if you remember, but we had a client that didn't have enough assets, and yet she was friends with a client that had a lot of assets. And you said, well, you got to make her a COI or she's got to go. So we had a good conversation with her. And we told her we needed her help to be seated. And that's how we were going to look at her as a center of influence. And she kind of gravitated. She gravitated toward that. She was cool with it. So she's going to be our center of influence.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, and then there's more money. She does have more money that ultimately she will bring over to us. So.
It's great. You know, you're just telling the truth, right? You're just saying what it is.
Yeah. I'm just telling the truth.
Yeah.
So what else, what is it that we need to be doing now? What else do we need to be doing?
Well, one of the things that, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, because we haven't talked for a while. I love this idea of classifying, you know, we've classified clients by, you know, the 9 different criteria that we use. You know, we like them, we trust them, we listen to them, they listen to us, they have the assets, they are profitable, they're referable, you know, et cetera. But there's a different way of thinking about clients, and I'd like you to do this exercise, which is to identify who are customers, who are clients, who are advocates, and who are ambassadors. So there's 4 categories. So you take your book now, and you really do, you think about it in terms of what do we really have here, all right? Because we'd like them all to be ambassadors, but some are still customers. So you start with the customers first. Who are customers? Customers are those that we don't really have control over, all right? Theoretically, you wouldn't want to have any customers. Those are people that just buy from you. They buy an occasional stock or a bond, and they think of you as a broker, not as their financial advisor. You haven't done a financial plan. They don't annuitize, you know, that you don't charge them a fee. They may have the money, but you have no control.
Yeah.
And they see you in a box. They see you as a broker. And you probably will keep them because they pay you enough, but it isn't the relationship that you want. Okay? So that's a customer. A client is all the above that you, in terms of what we're looking for. We like them. We trust them. They listen to us. We listen to them. They pay us a fee. They've done financial planning. They will refer to us without us asking. So they're a real, they're great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good client. All right.
Okay.
What's an advocate is somebody that is all the above. Plus they actually have referred to us in the past. Okay, and they'll refer to us without us asking. See, a client doesn't necessarily refer us.
Right.
Okay,
but an advocate, we know they like us, and like this woman, they will refer to us, all right, if given the opportunity, all right?
Okay.
So, and then finally an ambassador. An ambassador is a person that has actually referred business to you in the last 12 months, and they became a client. Not just referring, but they became a client in the last 12 months.
Gotcha.
So you're not an ambassador forever. You're an ambassador only in the past 12 months when you've referred somebody that became a client.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
All right. So your recognition and client appreciation events should be kind of determined by this. Now, we give everybody 12-4-2, right? All these categories get 12-4-2. All of them get rapid response. All of them get a financial plan if they'll take it. So that's our minimum standard, applies to all four categories.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the minimum. That doesn't mean we can't give more, right? So we're going to give more to the ambassadors. We may have an ambassador's dinner. We may take them to an event. You may have a recognition event. You may bring in an economist and invite them. They get invited to everything. And you may have a special dinner once a year with the husbands and wives. Okay?
Okay.
Where you thank them. Because think about it, right? They refer somebody and it pays you $70,000 a year. You can buy a nice dinner for them.
Very nice dinner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So you guys can use your imagination on what you might do with these categories. And you also think of, all right, if you've got an advocate, the more you spend time with an advocate, the more they're going to refer you and become ambassadors.
Okay.
All right. So you may think about, you know, every year that you're an ambassador, you get, a beautiful wine glass or, you know, and then you build a set over time. Or you just create little ideas for them on what you might do. And we can brainstorm on that. But the idea is to first find out what you have. You may only have 3 or 4 ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
That have referred you to actually being clients in the last 12 months. Maybe you have 12. Who knows? But that's an important number, and those are important people.
Okay.
And those are the people you want to make sure that they are that they understand this new program. That you don't really just want introductions, but you want introductions to people that meet your minimums. Because you want to make an ambassador, right?
Right.
So, and the same thing with your advocates. You want to make sure you train your advocates. Because they will refer you, but you got to make sure that they're referring the right people because they want to be ambassadors. They don't want to just be advocates. They want to go to that dinner. And they don't go unless they actually create a client.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice way to do it.
See, it's kind of tough. I mean, it's like, yeah, you can talk all you want about, you know, how much you love us, but I'm sorry, there's nobody in the, you know, you're not getting the Ambassador's Cup this year.
Okay. That's good.
So, you see what I mean? Because you guys really understand networking. You understand community. You understand these things. And the question is, do your clients, do your advocates, do your ambassadors understand how important these things are?
Mm-hmm. Rob, I have a question. So if I were to, for an ambassador, I know the main criteria that they have to have referred business and became a client in the past 12 months. Now, they also need to meet the asset amount too, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. Because we have people I feel like that are like that, but maybe they're not technically fitting into that.
I might have a separate recognition event for those people. Because I would put them into the category of centers of influence.
Okay.
So your centers of influence, you might have a separate event for them. All your centers of influence, you might not even be clients, right? But they've brought you a client in the last 12 months that was qualified.
Right.
So your lady that you've accepted, she's brought you a client that qualified in the last 12 months. She'd go to that other event. Okay. So this would be your center of influence. You could call them COI ambassadors, but they'd be different from your client ambassadors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You might combine them, but somebody that's paying you, you know, your minimum fee of $10,000 to $100,000, you're going to be able to treat them a little different than just somebody that's referring you.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. See what I mean? They are a client and they're an ambassador.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha.
That's kind of a special category.
Okay. That makes sense. Right. So we need to spend time developing that. Or looking at
here's what I would, you know, we used to have what I call project upgrades. You can come up with a different name, but the idea was I wanted to move my FAs from $500,000 producers to $1 million producers, million to 2 million, you know, 2.5 million, 2.5 to 5 million, and so forth. So that was, you know, I had a list of everybody and where they were and where I wanted them, right?
All right.
And that was my plan. That was a simple business plan. All right.
Okay.
My job is to get you from 2 million to 5 million. And I got 3 years to do it. How am I going to do that? So first of all, I got to get you to buy into it. Second, we got to come up with a business plan to do it, but it would be customized for you, et cetera.
Okay.
So your job with these clients is to move them up from customers to clients to advocates to ambassadors.
Okay.
So where you're going to find out what you have now.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So you just make, just like I listed my FAs, you list all your clients, and then you put down what they are, and you put them together, and you say, okay, of these people, how many people are really capable of becoming clients, their customers now. I can convert these 10 people to clients. So that's my job this year, right? These clients, I can turn them into advocates. So all they have to do to be an advocate is actually introduce me. You know, it doesn't mean they close them, but I need an introduction. You can't be an advocate unless you've actually introduced me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and then how am I going to turn how am I going to keep these people as ambassadors and make sure they stay on this list.
Gotcha.
Because you know how it works. A guy gives you a great referral, but then you don't hear from him for another 2 or 3 years.
Right.
He gave you a great referral. That means he's capable and he's willing to do it. So he's gone past the concept of, oh, I'm really worried, you know, maybe this, you know, what's going to happen when I refer this guy? No, he's all past that. See, you've already sold him on the idea. Now you just reinforce it and tell him how well that person's doing, how much they like working with your team, etc. So you give him feedback. That's why I like keeping in your folder for each client a list of people that they've referred to you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can keep giving them feedback that, you know, they've referred one every year. It's fabulous. You know, that's your perfect client.
Gotcha.
And then, of course, if you've referred to them for one reason or another, then you make sure that you put that down. Now, you can refer to them even if it's a dentist, right?
Okay.
You don't have to refer them somebody that helps their business. That's great if you do. But it could be helping them to get into the local, getting their, you know, preschooler into the right school.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
That's an introduction. You want to put that down. Because you'll forget what you did for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. That's why you want that enthusiastically endorsed list.
Okay.
Because theoretically, you're going to have the greatest list in your entire community of the best professionals that you can ever refer to anybody. So when somebody moves in town, you just meet with them and say, look, I got all the hard work done.
Gotcha.
You don't have to worry about where the kids are going to school or who's the best dentist or who's the best intern, who's the best this. I got it. Here are the names. Here's the list. I'm your now best friend.
Good. Good, good, good. Okay.
So it's this, you know, this whole concept of servant leadership and helping and frankly coaching. Because you've got to coach them on how to be better, how to be a better client.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that by telling stories.
Mm.
Okay?
All right.
I mean, I used to make my FAs crazy.
Okay.
I'd tell them stories, right?
Give us an example.
Well, I'd tell them about, you know, how one of the guys met with me. I gave him a good idea. He went out and he closed a $10 million client.
Okay.
And they go, what the hell? What? Tell me about what? What? How'd that happen? What?
They don't. Ooh, him?
Right. You guys don't like to be left behind. You know, the coaches spend the time with somebody and they're scoring touchdowns. What the hell? Why aren't I? You know, why aren't I spending
time with Right.
Why don't you spend a little more time with me, and then I'll score more touchdowns.
Right.
Clearly, you're helping. So what would your story be like?
Mm-hmm.
Another story of helping this guy sell his business.
Right. Right.
Right? There's a great, you got 10 business owners, and none of them know what the hell they're going to do.
Right.
And you say, you know, I love my job. I'm having so much fun these days. And the guy says, what do you mean? What's going on? And you say, well, you know, what's fun is that you never know how you're going to be able to help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening, and the great thing about these phone calls is I get a chance to really hear what's going on and what really is concerning my best clients, and you know, this is what happened. This guy is really concerned. He doesn't really have the succession plan. He doesn't have a person on staff. And this guy's going, me too, me too, me too, right? Doesn't have somebody that wants to buy him yet, you know, and he's like, I'm getting there, you know, I'm 75. I don't want to do this forever. My kid is lazy. It's, you know, and I said, well, we have this and this and this. And he said, really? And so we've set him up. It looks like we're going to sell his business, and he's going to be able to have this fabulous retirement.
Mm-hmm.
The guy goes, tell me about that.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's what I mean by telling stories. You don't brag. You just tell how you were able to help somebody and how well it worked out for them.
Right. Yeah. Cool.
You know what I mean? You're not saying my performance is terrific, you know, everybody else stinks. It's
right,
how did I help a person? You know, they really listened. They were really a good client. They refer a lot of business to me. And here's what we were able to do, you know, and boom. So you're describing all the time what the perfect client is.
Right.
What's your advocate? You know, what is your perfect advocate? And then they all want to be that advocate because somehow things seem to be working out so well for these advocates, right, for these ambassadors.
Good.
And you're a good, you know, you by your, I just know talking to you, you're a great storyteller. You just have to remember to tell the stories over and over and over again. Just like I do, right?
Yeah.
When I teach you a mastermind group or a center of influence, I tell you a story about, I don't tell you a story about how it didn't work.
Right.
You know, I tell you a great story about somebody that did it, listened to me, they were a good student, went out, did it, and boom, they got this unbelievable referral, introduction.
Right.
And it turned great. And then you're like, well, okay, I'll try it. You know, I'll try it.
Mhm. And we go and we try it.
Right. And you know, and I always tell you, it's not going to work the first time. Don't expect it to. You got to be a servant leader. You got to be giving a lot before you're going to get. But you already know that because that's how you built your practice.
Yeah, we're ready to build more and more and more.
Well, just measure the amount of time that you're spending with centers of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, building those networks, connecting people. Just make sure that you're not, you know, doing what you've always done with this free time. You want to make sure you're doing new things with free time.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Is there a typical breakdown on customers, clients, advocates, and ambassadors? You know, you said about 3 or 4 ambassadors. It could be more than that. But typically... Go ahead.
I mean, one could give you 3 or 4, right, introductions a year that turned into clients. But my guess is you're going to have the typical FA... unfortunately doesn't even open 10 relationships, new relationships a year.
We did.
Yeah.
Did we open?
Okay.
Thus far? We've done a pretty good job. Yeah. I don't know.
Probably not.
We could, though.
Yeah, I think we could. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
you know, go ahead.
My guess is you probably have, you know, 5 ambassadors now, and of course I'd say your goal would be to have 10.
Mm, okay.
Right,
okay.
And just say, okay, I'm going to turn these clients into ambassadors. We'll spend more time with them, explain what's going on, and try and help them. Remember, people say, how do you turn somebody into an ambassador? You figure out ways to help them.
Okay, which is what we're doing now with the clients that we have, pretty much.
Right.
Spending time with them, and
then you tell them stories. So you help them and tell them stories.
Mm-hmm.
Stories about other clients that were delighted by the relationships that they brought in.
All right. Other clients who were happy with the relationships.
Right. So let's say that you introduced me to a friend of yours at Morgan Stanley. Okay?
All right.
And I worked with him, and he was delighted, and you're really happy now that you introduced me, because that guy is a good friend, and he's hitting it on all cylinders.
Okay.
I would then tell a third party about what you did.
Okay.
Okay. I have this fabulous financial team in Columbia, South Carolina, that introduced me to a friend of theirs in Savannah. And it turned out great, and he's delighted. He's become a great center of influence within that organization, and I frankly do everything I can to help him grow his practice.
Gotcha.
So it's really been fabulous, okay? And this
okay.
other guy goes, what else do you do for him? Well, we have special offline phone calls, and whenever he has a problem, he calls. You know, so I give him real concierge service. I give him something beyond just coaching. He says, well, how do I get that? And I go, well, all you have to do is just do what he did, you know, just introduce me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most wonderful thing you could do for me, is introduce me to someone who would benefit as much as you have from this experience.
Gotcha.
It's good for them. It's good for you. You're doing your friend a favor. And, you know, if it isn't going to work out, I'll let you know right away. I'm not going to take on somebody that I don't think is a good fit. So, you know, we make sure it's going to work.
Right. Gotcha.
So, see, I just painted a picture for you of some of the benefits of, you know, of being not only a client, but an advocate or ambassador, and you become a friend, you know, in the sense, I'm going to do everything possible for you.
Mm-hmm.
I always do, but, you know, you can do a little more.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. All right. So what are the takeaways?
We need to identify who our customers, clients, advocates, and ambassadors.
Okay. What's the other takeaway?
Rob, we, you know, because, of course, before we started Supernova, we do kind of have a little bit of a, just like most advisors, like we have our book segmented by, you know, tier. And so if we resegmented the people that we're keeping into tiers like customers, clients, advocates, ambassadors, I think we can better determine our quote-unquote reward system or how we're going to make those people special. So.
Right. So you move. So your project upgrade is the next step. Once you identify who it is that you have, then you determine who it is that you think can move from one category to the other. And then you come up with a plan for how to do that.
Okay.
And you target each one of them in the special way customized for them.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like I did, you know, I didn't treat my FAs the same. You know, I'd target what each one. How am I going to get you from 2 million to 5 million? How am I going to make that happen? What do you want? What do you need? You know, one person wants recognition. Another person wants access. Another one wants introductions. Another one wants money. You know, another one wants another sales assistant. So there isn't a cookie cutter way to get a client from being a center of influence or a center of influence that will enthusiastically endorse you and will refer you to an ambassador that does it every year. How are you going to make sure he does it every year? Well, you figure out what he likes. What does he want? What can you do for him? And a lot of times it's just access. People with a lot of money don't always have access. And you can sometimes provide them with access that's unique. I mean, Super Bowl tickets, tickets to the Masters, you know, just interesting things that they can't get otherwise that aren't that expensive, but are very difficult to get.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So you think about those things.
Gotcha. Okay. And tell the story.
And tell the story. Keep telling the stories. I mean, think about how do you recruit a kid to go to a university, right? That's a great athlete, great basketball player, great. How do you sell them on coming to the university? You got to paint a picture. You paint the picture of what their life's going to be like. They don't know what it's going to be like. You got to paint the picture, and then you project into the future how they will develop and then what that future would look like. And then they've got to buy into that. Because you've done it for others, right? So this is what life is like as an ambassador. This is what we do. And we'd love to have you be a part of it.
That's good. That's good. I can bite into that.
Good.
That's it. This is what our girl wanted. That's what she wanted to know.
Our girl.
Yeah, coach. Oh,
okay.
That's exactly what she was asking. Why you? Paint the picture.
Okay.
Paint the picture.
Yeah.
What would my life look like with you?
With you versus
yeah, what would my future look like?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we paint that picture, and I like the end. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to be a part of it. I like that. Okay. That's how you recruit everybody.
Really?
I agree. Rob, are you against us? Well, not against us, but how do we need some help with LinkedIn. I mean, really utilizing LinkedIn. And maybe it's not time to do that right now. Maybe it's time that we buckle down and get this part of what we're trying to do as far as getting our clientele in categories.
Let me just spend a minute on LinkedIn. All right, so for Facebook should be about all the charitable work that you do in the community. And each one of you should, basically in the background, you know, you have your picture on there. In the background, they call it the wallpaper.
Yeah.
You can put anything you want back there. It can be a picture of, and what I like to have you see is if you do a walk-a-thon, right, for cancer, breast cancer, for, you know, heart disease, yeah, or whatever it is, right, you put that behind you, and that's part of what you post. So you post on Facebook charitable things you're doing in the community, church events, things that are interesting, but they're all good works that all of you do. So you can all, you know, fight. By inference, say, we contribute, we give back to the community. It's a soft way of bragging, and it's, again, painting a picture, right? This is a picture of our team. We're servant leaders. We give back. LinkedIn is a way of connecting with people based on your interest outside of work. Daryl, what kind of an athlete were you? Were you a basketball player?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what are your hobbies now?
That's not a hobby. That's a calling. She said preaching is my hobby. Yeah, I love music. I love sports. I'm a season ticket holder for the Hornets. You know, I don't cook on the grill like I used to, but you know, but that's pretty. I don't have a whole lot of time to do a whole lot of other things. You're funny.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah.
I do now.
Okay, so here's what I would do. I would become an advocate for young players in the NBA to not blow themselves up financially. I mean, it's still a tragedy. I mean, it's still a travesty what goes on today.
Yes,
I mean, it's still horrible. I mean, guys make $100 million and then end up declaring bankruptcy 5 years after retirement. I mean, it's just wrong. Okay. And here you are, a successful, bright, caring guy preaching the gospel of according to good money management. And I would make LinkedIn my mission to get those guys to listen to somebody. Okay? Whether it's you or somebody, but every one of them should have a financial coach other than their agent that they will listen to that is trustworthy, that will not screw them and help them grow up. Because the problem is none of them, they don't grow up.
Mm-hmm.
They think life is going to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
they just don't think. And they waste enormous amounts of money. They think the money tree is, you know, it's going to keep shedding forever and ever, and it doesn't, and then they're screwed.
Right.
So
right.
We know that.
Right.
But you can get a real following among other advocates that believe in the same thing. And that's what I would
do.
That's what I would use. You post a lot. You post good articles. You talk about bad things that have happened. You post bad things that have happened and then good articles on how, you know, you were able to help or other people were able to help. So you bring, it's like cancer or something. You bring it to the forefront. People got to first believe that they got a problem, okay, before you can cure them of cancer. And then you got to convince them that there is a cure, and then you got to convince them that you have access to the cure. Then you got to convince them to take it, okay? So I think that's like a five-part process. And that's with somebody with cancer, okay? These guys don't even know they're sick.
We do this through LinkedIn.
Yep.
How?
Because it's a great communications tool.
So, Rob, basically, we would be posting articles on things. Like, because, you know, and I mean, you probably are aware that with all firms, there is restrictions on what we can kind of put on LinkedIn or even Twitter as far as posts. So, would you recommend that we would need to find, because you can't get stuff approved even if it's your own words, but would you recommend that we would post like pre-approved articles that the firm did, or do you want us to find out how we can get certain things approved that are coming out of our own mouths, if you will?
You gotta get people in the firm to buy in. Everybody knows this problem. And usually there's somebody in the firm that's doing something about it on a national level. You got to get them to help you to be able to participate in this crusade.
No, sorry, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
It's a crusade.
Mhm.
It's a crusade to save the young men of the world and women. It's mostly men. You know that.
You know, we do have that. We do want to do that big time.
We do.
We really want to do that. I mean, we've got a guy. I mean, there's a guy who just recently signed, but before he signed, his agent made sure that he bought a $100,000 car. He hadn't even made the team yet.
Yeah.
is a $100,000 car that his girlfriend is driving.
And he
just, yeah.
You know the one that went to the Clippers?
Yeah.
From here?
The one that went.
I didn't know that.
And he just got pulled over
last
week. Wow. Yeah. And his contract isn't
that good. It's like $3 million, right?
Over, yeah.
Or like
over,
a 5 years.
It is over 3 years. But this year he only got $800,000. Plus, he's in California, which is a high tax. Yeah. So he's, yeah. So.
He's done.
No, he's not done. We can save him. That's what we do. We can save them. That's what you're saying, Rob. That our job is to throw out the life preserver and then pull him into the boat and then put an engine on his boat so he can ride off into the sunset.
Right. With you on board.
With me on board. In fact, I'm driving the ship. We're driving the ship. We're the captains.
That's exactly right. And okay. So there. You say, why do I want to get on LinkedIn every day? For that reason. Because you got to believe it's a mission. All right? You can't be...
How do the players... So help me understand this now. Because the players aren't going to be looking at LinkedIn. They're going to be looking at Twitter.
They're going to... Well, you get them to get on LinkedIn. You get 5,000 people on LinkedIn. I got 5,000 people on LinkedIn.
We can, but see, Rob, we can actually use Twitter as well. The firm loves to use Twitter, which I think for young people, that's what they do.
So when I post on LinkedIn, I also post on Facebook and I post on Twitter. So I post on all three.
Okay, so we need to come up with a game plan, and that's part of what we need. Am I right? Am I off base?
Yeah. I get what you're saying to get the masses, but for the front individual, I think it's going to take personal connection.
But that one individual is different. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what we're trying to do is drive traffic so that traffic sees what we're doing, so whenever the opportunity presents itself, we have name recognition. People say, you need to go to them.
Yeah, that's what
we're trying
to do.
Exactly. Okay. You become what we call a thought leader. All right? You become other advocates for your way of thinking will then come to you and refer to you, and you'll refer to them. You got to get a coalition of the righteous, okay? A coalition of the righteous.
All right, Reverend Ron.
true, right? You got to get a coalition of the non-greedy, of the righteous that really want to help these guys and will truly protect them. Mm-hmm. And there are, I mean, I've seen it on CNBC where guys have come on and said, look, this is a serious problem. We're doing this. We're doing that. You affiliate with those guys. Find out if they're for real. And then... you get this coalition of the people that really want to help, and then you're one of them, and then you help. And you refer to them, they refer to you, you get the right agents. You know, this agent's a jerk, stay away from him. Mm-hmm. And then they'll refer to you and so forth. Because you got to, I mean, that's a natural business for you. And it's something that you got to be patient with it. It's not going to happen overnight. But when you believe in it and you see the mistakes continuing, you know the problem is not even close to solved.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that would be good for entertainment, too.
That is.
I mean, you know that. We talked about lottery winners. You know, the average lottery winner or inheritance is last 18 months, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless they spread it out over time, but if they give them a lump sum, it's gone because people are stupid. You know, they're not used to, they have no concept of the compounding of money and how wonderful it is when you can just live off the interest or live off the dividends. Mm-hmm. So that's what, I mean, look, you're in a fabulous position to really help. And I just bring this up because you asked, right? What can I use the media, what social media for? You can use it to save, people.
Right.
Right?
Wow. That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
So then it's not work. It's part of your passion. But it would help. I mean, every one of those guys that you get is just wonderful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, guys?
All right. Okay, good enough. I hear your phone ringing. Thanks a lot, Rob. We'll talk to you next
All
month.
Right.
Okay.
Talk to you next month. Thanks. Good talk.